Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Maui Nui is on a mission to help balance axis deer populations for the good of our environment, communities, and food systems. On the island of Maui, they've shared over 126,000 pounds of nutrient-dense protein with the Maui community. Secure your spot now, become a snack subscriber, and join in helping to build more resilient food and ecosystems on Maui. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com, that's MauiNuiVenison.com, and use promo code BEAR for 20% off your first order.
I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase.
My name is Clay Newcomb, and this is a production of the Bear Grease Podcast called the Bear Grease Render, where we render down, dive deeper, and look behind the scenes of the actual Bear Grease Podcast. Presented by FHF Gear, American-made, purpose-built hunting and fishing gear that's designed to be as rugged as the places we explore.
Some of the conversation.
How about this cookie? What's in this? Horse feed?
Yeah, we put a little horse feed.
It really is.
Chocolate, oats. Peanut butter, and horse feed.
What do you call that?
We call them cow patties.
Okay.
And what's call in them it? No-bakes.
Most people grew up
calling them no-bakes. My wife, their family calls them candy cookies. You can imagine my disappointment the first time I was informed that I would be eating a candy cookie.
And you got a no-baker.
And was delivered that.
Well, gosh, I would rather this than a candy cookie any day
kidding?
Of the week.
I don't know what a candy cookie is, but I had sort of built up something in my head, and then, a no-bake, okay.
Well, imagine my surprise when someone said we were having no-bake cookies, and they handed us cow patties. When my mom's family, her dad was a cattle farmer with varying levels of success, and they made these one time, and her sister was about 4 years old, and she was watching her mom put them out on the tray, and she said, those look like cow patties, and they started calling them cow patty, and that's what we called them all growing up.
Yeah, makes sense.
I had no idea, no clue that anyone else would ever have anything else they'd call it. And do you know the secret in our home, in the Newcomb home, to making a good cow patty? Because it's kind of tricky.
It's not going to be a secret for long.
Well, I'll tell people. You know, a lot of recipes you need, like, just, they talk about, like, you mix it in with a little love.
Yeah.
We say anger.
Okay.
Anger. Like, you cannot make a good set of cow patties unless you're just a little bit angry at the end. Because it's getting the consistency exactly right. It's a little bit tricky.
Yep.
And in our family, the person who makes cow patties is Misty, me.
Yep.
And when you get to that point, if people start to distract you, it's like, hey, stop it. Stop. Don't talk right now.
There's like a golden second.
Yes.
That they've got to be.
You've got to just be completely focused. Yeah. And so I would be like, hey, these won't turn out right. And
they'll
so
either be runny or they'll be dry.
Dry. Yep. Exactly. And so in our family, we started saying, hold on.
That's right.
So sometimes when I make them and they're like runny, everybody's like, no one was here to make you mad.
Yeah.
And so it's like the family goal to make me really intense whenever, because that makes a good cookie.
That's eggs for me.
Eggs?
Yeah.
It needs a little anger in it?
They were perfect this morning. I got real angry.
You got real? Confessions of a dad.
I don't know what's going on in y'all's kitchen to make you mad.
I told the kids at school this morning, I said, if I had a superpower, what I would want it to be is that at any given moment, I could reach in my pocket and pull out a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Oh.
That would be the superpower you want. That's the thing in
homemade
this life.
Or bought from somewhere?
Probably a Brahm sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Well, you had me up until then.
Yeah, he is the only guy that I know that actually likes Brahm's breakfast.
I love Brahm's sausage, egg, and cheese biscuits.
I had never.
I love Brahms.
Have you ever had one?
Love their Brent?
I don't guess.
Breakfast.
Yeah, I like their ice cream.
There is
their
no
ice
Brahms.
Dude, Woods. I love their
there's no Brahms
hamburger.
We should
in
probably
do
six. It's the precision that I appreciate.
Number 13, baby. That's I'm interested.
All right,
if
ladies
I want
and gentlemen.
Pretty decent food
hold on
and
now.
Horrible
there's
service,
a new sheriff in town.
He's in there.
And yeah, we're going to just have to get right to it.
Wow.
Clay Newcomb's gone.
Uh-oh.
And
I thought this
I'm
was going to be a fun
today.
Podcast.
You thought you were going to get to just say whatever you wanted to say, mm-hmm. whatever you.
That explains why we're all wearing
the
dresses.
Cat is away.
Oh, come on. Okay, so I was given instructions by Clay to run this like a meeting. Apparently, that's the thing that Clay thinks I can do really well.
Who's taking minutes?
Don't worry, it's
he's
me.
He's playing on your strengths.
I know. It kind of made me sad when he said that. I thought he'd be like, run it like a party. Nope,
just
run it like
a
meeting.
Time.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, so Clay Newcomb is out. Britt and I just talked to him on the phone. Mm-hmm. He is flying into Alaska right now with Steve Rinella. They're going on a moose hunt. And we hope that he comes home with a moose.
Yes.
That would
I
mean,
be awesome.
That's cool and all, but when I heard that he was leaving, I just assumed that he was going to search the country for the next best Bear Grease bargain barn deal. I thought he was going to be digging through barns. I thought he was going to be combing
right.
through attics.
Who knows what
and
he's
then he's
be
like,
doing.
No, it's a moose hunt. And I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I mean, great. That's great. Yeah. That's great, but...
Well, this would be the first moose in the Newcomb family.
Okay.
The first moose brought home. So we're really hoping that it works out. I'm going to introduce everyone we've got here. We've got to my left, Gary Believer Newcomb.
It's me.
To his left, we've got Isaac Neal.
Any new tattoos, Isaac?
Actually,
oh, well,
yes.
Yeah, since the last render.
Yeah.
I came down on Friday and I got a possum and a raccoon.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I think we're going to need to do a possum viewing.
Them. Yeah, we can do.
Let me introduce everyone real fast.
Should I pull the boots off while you're doing the rounds? Is that going
to talk to me about
noise?
What's going to happen odor wise?
Nothing.
When you
we're
pull
good.
The boots off,
fresh
okay,
socks.
Excellent.
Yeah,
yeah. You do the prep work
okay,
for
cool.
that. He pointed to his jeans and said, "Should I prepare for that?" And I was like, "What is about to happen?" Okay, Brent over here to his left, we've got Britt Reeves
here.
We've got. Please write that in the minutes that Brent answered here. We got Josh Spillmaker.
Present.
Okay, stop that. All right. And then to my right, we've got old friend Malachi Nichols as our guest of honor.
Yeah, how are you doing?
One of the inaugural Bear Grease.
Yeah, he was back in the
one
day.
One of the originals.
One of the OGs. Yeah,
yeah,
for real.
One of the originals.
For real. How are things going, Malachi?
Sleepy.
Why are you sleeping?
Since we've been here, I have another little boy. So we have two under two.
Yeah.
Oh,
and our
my.
Newest
oh,
is
yeah.
4 weeks. So
not
we
like
are...
since you got here today, but since the last time you were here.
Since I pulled up, my wife has had three kids.
Love the commitment.
And the Bear Grease podcast was just that important. Yes.
No, yeah. Since I was on last, we have two under two. So
I think the transition from one child to two is the hardest transition.
No, I think from zero to one, it is earth-shattering.
Really?
Right? But from one to two, it's just like you realize like, oh,
it's just
my
an
time
annoyance.
Is not mine.
Yeah.
It's just
you
an
know?
Annoyance.
I've got
really?
Three. I've got three green. I've got three kids, but they're spaced out from 31 to 10.
Okay.
But my daughter has three, and she said having one kid was like having one kid.
Yes.
And having two was like having two, but having three was like having 15.
Wow. Really?
This, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't feel
so
that way at all.
Yeah.
I felt like one was a lot. Two was like, okay, we can do this. And three was like, just keep them coming.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I feel one and then one and a half and then 1.75 for each of the gaps. It's just like, now that we have four, it's like the first one kind of like, hey, Temple, can you go grab Ezra?
I'm trying to figure out your math here. 1.5.
Oh, having
you had
one
1.5.
Is like one.
Okay,
having
two I got
is like
you.
1.5.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Having three is like 1.75.
It's like,
man, the transition
it's like
from
Microsoft Word spacing.
Okay, yeah. All right. From zero to one was
earth-shattering.
Loved it. Easy peasy. Not easy, but like I was planning on some shakeup, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It wasn't. But the transition from one to two, the girls were 17 months apart, and that was super difficult. I mean, just it was. I thought that was really hard. And after that, I really thought, well, we could probably have 12 kids. It's just kind of logistically, it gets a little bit more challenging. But when we got to four, we had four under five.
Once you get to four, though, then you got to get a different car.
It's true. That's it. Everything is different.
You might as well just get a 15-passenger.
It's apparently illegal to stay at hotels. The hotel industry is anti-family anti-big family, because you go in with four and they're like, well, you can't actually sleep six people in your hotel. It's like, well, okay, Shep, you're about two, so you go stay by yourself. You're the one that's... Everything is just a little bit more logistically challenging.
Okay, so have you introduced yourself?
Oh, I'm Misty Newcomb, today's host of the Bear Grease Podcast.
Woo!
Life goals here.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be the boss.
The crowd goes wild.
Yeah. All right, Isaac, I see you've got your jeans lifted up.
Oh, yeah, I want to get
your,
these boots
your
back
legs
on,
are bared.
Well, actually, they're possumed and raccoon.
They're possumed. Okay, let's see.
Go a little higher there, all the way up to the knees, because you can't see the top of the possum.
I'm wearing these cowboy cut jeans, and I don't know if I
Oh, there we go. There we go.
You should have worn the pirate cut.
Have you seen these tattoos yet, Isaac?
Yes, they're wonderful and terrible. Anna texted me mid-tattoo and said, I thought it'd be cuter.
Let me see the other way.
So she was there for it?
No, I sent her a picture when the possum was done.
How long did it take?
That was 3 hours.
That bandito's got distemper.
Three hours to do both of them? Or three hours to each?
Both of them, yeah.
So you said they're wonderful and terrible.
Yeah.
Tell us everything you mean by that.
I don't know if you can elaborate on that.
I mean, you got to elaborate on that. The viewers, this is a podcast.
So it's the tattoo artist that I go to, I really like him because he has this sort of wonderful folk art aesthetic about it.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of bad and kind of perfect. Uh-huh. It's very wabi-sabi, if you're familiar with the term.
Okay.
I don't know that term.
Perfection
is what the cool young kids are saying?
50% of what Isaac says, I'm like, did he just make that up? I don't know. It could be really smart. It could be
I'm just delivering it with confidence.
That's the key to everything.
Yeah, so we can get a picture of those out there somewhere or something.
Oh, yeah, we can get that out there.
Possums are kind of just terrible creatures, but so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted it to be grinning. Wayne, who also lives out in the woods and grows his own food and all that stuff, is like, I wanted to capture the expression of a possum the way I see it in my brain without it like being a cartoon. And I just look at this possum's eyes and I'm like, yeah, that thing is wild.
How philosophical.
Yeah. So
I have
a bunch of weirdos.
I have to be real careful because someone wrote into the Bear Grease Podcast this week on the iTunes and said, Misty seems, Clay only read me this part. And then I was like, let me see what they said. He said, Misty seems kind of preachy and judgy, but also like the most welcoming person. And I was like, man, that's pretty accurate. Yeah. But then he didn't read it all to me. About tattoos.
Oh.
And so I think I was getting called the preachy judgy for Isaac's tattoos.
Yeah.
And I just want to clarify, I wasn't judging your tattoos.
Misty's covered in tattoos.
No, I'm not.
She is a tattoo.
It's the way you, and I'm not judging. It's just, I'm making a statement. You are very fast with your decision-making process.
Oh, yeah. I totally understand how most people would be like,
this would be a lifelong decision.
Yeah.
So it's going to take me, for me, it would take me roughly, I still haven't gotten my first.
I think when folks see that possum, you're going to be validated.
And I think, for me, I feel like I could just get a spur-of-the-moment face tattoo and not give a second thought to it. I think it's just my personality. Just like,
it's amazing to me.
I don't know how healthy that is, Isaac.
I'll do it.
I mean, it's working out for me so far.
I'll do it.
If we ever have a live render again.
During his undercover days,
Brent could do a face tattoo
learned how
for
make a homemade tat gun.
Absolutely.
Next time Clay's gone, let's bring the supplies. and let's. I think that'd be a very entertaining
Malachi,
render.
You got to come more often, man. This is the most fun we've had.
All right, Isaac.
Misty, can I tell everybody what they can expect today?
Please
on a clayless render?
I can't wait.
Clayless.
So there's four things that I've determined that people can expect. The first thing will be correctly pronounced words.
Pronounced.
Okay.
So, or possibly made up words.
Yeah, or made up words. They can expect that there ideally won't be any dog scolding in the middle of the podcast.
We've already heard dogs and no scolding.
And everyone just keeps moving.
Unabashed mustache brushing of the microphone.
Okay, good.
And last but not least, Misty to finish a story.
Ooh.
Oh,
I thought it was bold of him to just drag you like that and then bounce.
Hashtag let Misty talk. Did y'all see it, hear it in this podcast?
Yeah.
It's like,
Misty knows a thing about that.
About that, I know. I would listen to it, and I was actually, he'd been gone for about 24 hours when I listened to this podcast, and so I was starting to miss him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm in the car, and I'm thinking about this podcast and how we're going to do this, and, you know, let's not poke too much fun at Clay and all that. And then I hear that and I'm like, that sucker.
We have a Tuesday afternoon listen through one final pass at it, whatever.
Right.
Me and him and Phil. I almost said,
you sure you want to do that?
Yeah. Are we positive we want to leave that in there? Okay. I didn't bring it up. So
anyway, I thought it was a good podcast.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that. But yep. First, Isaac, you have something that we're going to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. We have the...
The inaugural.
Bear Grease Bargain Barn.
We need good music for this.
Yeah.
What would be good music?
I've definitely horns.
Did they have music Fanfare. On the swap shop?
They did.
We need sponsors.
I grew up and listened to the radio out of Warren, Arkansas, KWRF. Yeah. And they had the swap shop on
there. Swap shop.
But I don't remember music. I just remember.
I only remember hearing the swap shop on AM radio, too.
Oh, man. Yeah. We had it on FM. And me and wow. I was like...
Uptown.
High quality entertainment.
Do you have a swap shop mm-hmm. radio station on your radio when you grew up?
No, the only time I've heard a swap shop was when I got to Arkansas.
Really?
Nice.
I'm trying to think of it.
Nice, Gary.
Dollar Trade.
Dollar Trade.
Dollar Trade.
Dollar
yeah.
Trade. I have cried listening to some stuff on Dollar Trade.
It's Gary with the intro music. That's good.
We finally have music. All right. So first up, we've got Garrett Smith. He has a wood-burning stove for sale with a floor plate and some stove pipe. As you can see in the photos, which you guys can't see, but we'll try and describe it to you. It is in immaculate condition. Wonderful mountain scene cast into the side is reminiscent of Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. Anybody watch that?
Oh, yeah. It's a weird movie. The concept of the movie is bizarre.
Yeah.
Hey, Garrett is from El Dorado.
Yep, El Dorado, Arkansas.
A lot of people would say that's El Dorado, and they would be
incorrect. Dead wrong.
Well, we've got El Dorado Springs in Missouri, so we're
go.
Both on the same page. As
I'm Arkansas. Saying Garrett can be trusted.
Yep, absolutely. Well, if you are interested in getting this wood-burning stove for 500 buckaroos, you can contact him, maybe his wife, at... BECCAROSE 1992 at Becca Rose 1992 on Instagram. It is a beautiful stove, and if you are cold and have too much wood, that would be a good fit for you.
I appreciate the fact, too, that he did identify that it is very exotic, having been made in Taiwan.
Okay.
Yeah.
It'll burn wood in two
appreciate
different languages.
That.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Up next,
hashtag, in the description, hashtag Taiwan is cool.
There we go.
All right, up next
That's
we've
actually
got,
in there?
Yeah, it is. Up next, we've got Hayden Ferrari, speaking of exotic names. He has a full Solitude and a full Sanctuary 2.0 kit for sale from... First Light. These mm-hmm. are last year's model with no windproofing. Both sets were lightly used last year as the winter was very warm. The Sanctuary was worn one time. The Solitude was worn just five times. Excellent condition. He's asking 400 for the Solitude set.
Was that caps lock exclamation
yeah.
point?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, I'm trying yeah. to interpret yeah. what Isaac's reading.
You interpreted correctly. Yeah. So the Solitude set is $400. The Sanctuary set is $575. Both together, he'll knock off $50 for you, $925. You can get a hold of him at HTFERRARI. That's at HTFerrari on Instagram.
Okay, pause. I think, Isaac, you're really coming into your calling on this
yeah.
as we go further along. That at the end of that one, I heard more of an auctioneer voice.
Okay,
did y'all
yeah,
hear
yeah,
that?
Yeah. I think I have a heightened level of stress because I have like these coding issues where...
Didn't Malachi talk about code shifting?
Code switching?
Yeah, code switching.
You did. You've talked about codes.
But during one of those first...
Malachi's forgot his whole life.
I mean, I don't even know where I'm at.
He's got two kids.
Malachi's just sitting there in a daze.
What's my name? Yeah.
He's just glad he's not changing
I've
his diaper.
I've been on this
right
podcast
now.
Before. I know you people.
So I've got like coding errors where when I read something, I say it differently or write it down differently. So
okay.
I'm terrified that I'm going to read somebody's Instagram handle and say it
oh,
wrong.
Oh, got it.
And then people are going to be like...
Well, Hayden made a boo-boo. He didn't yeah. put the size in there.
And for
it's Hayden-sized.
Hayden-sized. And a Solitude and
It'll
Sanctuary are...
It's a kit of
yeah.
pants and a jacket or whatever.
All right. So if we could get a little more auctioneery.
Yeah.
I
okay,
like
I'm,
that. What do y'all think? Does anyone have any other...
25, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30, 30
automated. Right. I'm going to try and sell these. All right. So up next, we've got...
This thing is quite a gem here.
Give it to me. What do you think? Well, and then I'll read the description.
Well, I'm looking at the pictures, and it's a pretty cool slate call. I'm a big fan of slate calls.
So this is my honorable mention. It's great, but he's made a huge gaffe.
Mm-hmm.
Can you spot it?
I did.
Okay. So it is a wonderful slate call. It's a slate call. It's made out of a turkey shell. It's hand carved to look like an Eastern box turkey. Yep.
Are you sure it's a turkey shell or
it's
a turtle shell?
This looks like every turkey shell I've ever seen.
Turkey shell.
All right, no. Our friend made a little typo here.
Turkey call, turtle shell.
Correct.
Okay. It was carved by Steve Stortz, and it's a one of a kind. It sounds good and looks even better. Let me know if you need more details, says Parker Batista. One of the details we need is an Instagram handle. So, Parker, if you're listening, email back in. We'll bring it back up. But it was so wonderful. I thought it was worth mentioning.
It's really pretty. Yeah. It's like a terrapin shell, and the striker looks like a terrapin head on there.
Yep.
Is that what that looks like?
Yep. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's full turtle-themed turkey. Yeah.
It's got turkey tracks around the edge of it.
All right, up next, we've got one from at Chair One Creation, ChairOneCreations, at Chair One Creations. It is a Bear Grease hat. Now, I've got questions as to why he's selling a Bear Grease hat on the Bear Grease podcast, but we're not here to find out motivations. He's given it a good sell. It's a long piece. I'm just going to cut to the middle of it. I have in my possession a bona fide Bear Grease trucker cap, but it isn't just any old Bear Grease trucker cap. This cap comes with a story and a lucky streak. This just might be the only Bear Grease hat that has ever been fly fishing.
From the peanut gallery.
my friend here, I appreciate, I feel some solidarity with my friend here because the underrepresented
brotherhood.
Fly fishing community of Bear Grease. I appreciate that he's bringing this up. But to be so bold as to say possibly the only Bear Grease hat to ever go fly fishing, my friend, I was wearing Bear Grease hats fly fishing before it was cool.
Before it was a podcast.
And it's interesting to me that this guy listens enough and is avid enough to write in and do all this. Seems like a great guy, but not listening enough or avid enough to notice that you bring up fly fishing on every podcast.
Maybe he just didn't pay attention.
I try to.
Do you think it's one of your kids that just kind of blanks you out?
No, we got a
picture
of the guy.
No, he's actually a fine looking gentleman.
Good looking dude.
Good close cropped hair with a nice beard.
Do you think he's trying to get to you?
This is calculated.
If he is, it's working.
Okay. Back to the story. That said, it was worn on one of the best fly fishing trips this side of Hotchkiss, Colorado. 20-inch browns, dry fly hoppers, and even more, catching a gold medal water trout with bare hands. If you want to leave your mark on America's favorite hairpiece, buy this one-of-a-kind Bear Grease cap today and put that lucky streak to the test. Again, that's at Chair One Creations.
I think I need to go find Mr. Chair at Chair One Creations and meet him out in Western Colorado, and both of us go fly fishing wearing our Bear Grease hats and sell them as a pair.
See which one has the better luck.
Yeah, I was going to say, swap before it so you can put that lucky streak.
Mine is autographed.
I want to see the fish that took the picture.
All right, we got one more thing on the dial of trade, and this one actually sort of put the whole concept of the Bear Grease Bargain Barn to the test, because as someone who has competing interests with doing a good podcast and doing what Clay wants, but also wants a lot of this stuff. And so it's not in my best interest to put it out to all of the listeners if I'm I kind of want this. My man is selling some mountain feists.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
So well, these are good looking pugs, too.
Yep.
Tim the squirrel dog.
Yeah.
Is a treeing cur, also known as a mountain cur, also known as a feist.
Yep.
Is he a mountain feist as well? Is that another?
He could take that term, yeah.
Yep.
So is this possibly one of Tim the squirrel dog's relatives?
Doubtful.
Okay.
Doubtful. This would be a different different line of dogs.
Different dynasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, similar.
They're good looking pups.
Similar dogs, you can see him here. He's got.
Everyone needs a good squirrel dog.
He's got.
I'm sold on squirrel dogs.
A very
my
good
dogs
looking
think they're squirrel dogs.
Toyota pickup, full of fox and gray squirrels to prove that he has actually succeeded with
these. I hope he's got a pressure cooker.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in the middle here.
Fox squirrels are tough as a boot.
He says, I am the proud owner of two beautiful mountain feist. I take that back. I am currently the proud owner of seven beautiful mountain feist, but I need to get down to three. My male mountain feist, Timber, Tim for short, Clay.
What?
And my female, Coyote Copper, did what dogs do, and my sweet copper girl gave birth to nine beautiful squirrel Treant machines. Whoa. I have sold four of them.
Sound
and
familiar?
We are keeping one for ourselves, obviously, so my wife Prince and myself need to sell four more. Both parents tree squirrels, and they both come from great stock with champion squirrel dogs in their bloodline. I currently have one male and three females up for grabs. You can get a hold of him at holden.mitchell.13@gmail.com. So that's holden.mitchell.13@gmail.com for a mountain feist.
And, that, good and he ropes. Sent in his social security number, and we'll yep. post that online.
I definitely think that Malachi and Lindsay need a mountain feist in their life at this exact point in history. Is, yeah.
Getting a dog, I wouldn't pray that on anybody.
So that's all the listings we have. You know what to do to get a hold of these guys, or in the case of the turkey box call, you don't. And so I hope Mr. Parker Batista writes back in. If you have a listing, we're going to be doing this every week, so you can write into BearGrease@TheMeatEater.com with the subject line BGBB or Bear Grease Bargain Barn with your particulars. Brent?
How many contacts did you have? How many emails did you have?
Oh, probably a dozen and a half.
Oh, pretty cool.
Yeah.
I expect that to grow exponentially.
It was enough. There was some really good content there, but like I'd really like some cream of the crop listings.
Did anyone offer to buy
like an 82 Trans Am?
Any of our
Yes, I'm interested in that.
Our banjo?
Well, we had one email about banjo.
Okay. Just curious. Just curious. Clay changes his mind every week. So
yeah, if this guy could, comes
I have
down
no idea.
I've got the email, and if this guy comes down on the right day, it might work.
It might work. Yeah. On the right day.
Well, now that he knows the trick about tucking his thing and then two six shooters.
Yeah.
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 There you go.
That Holt gave us.
Yeah.
Maybe all over for the banjo sale.
Man, our son Bear has been, you know, going to our. The part, you know, everybody has like a shed that they don't, or maybe not a shed, maybe not as much as us, that things they don't really use anymore. And Bear's been digging those things out, pressure washing them, fixing machines, selling them on my Facebook Messenger.
Good.
Because he doesn't have Facebook, which I doubt Facebook is really the big scary monster that it was, you know, but anyway.
Sure.
So Bear has been selling stuff on my Facebook Messenger and has been looking to buy a Jeep or something like that.
An off-road
rig. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm at work getting tons of messages from people asking very specific questions about lawnmowers or about just all sorts of things that he's going to, like he went to a friend's house, picked up their lawnmower that they said what didn't work, fixed it, sold it on Facebook. So, you know, Bear's like got Uncle Russell blood in him. Y'all have heard Clay talk about Uncle Russell, his uncle who ran a junkyard. Bear definitely has a strong Uncle Russell streak.
I love that.
And it's been pretty entertaining. And it never occurred to me that people are seeing my name.
Yeah.
Because I've never sold anything on Facebook Messenger. And then the other day, someone said Misty. And then they asked a really specific transmission question. And I was like, what is happening right now? Yeah. And then I said something to one of my friends. They're like, oh, it's not you that's selling all that stuff on. So even my close friends, everyone thought it was me.
Your close friends thought you were selling mowers and kayaks and
the fence. Stolen property.
I'm imagining a scenario in which your son is starting his own sort of
thing. Yeah, he's quite the entrepreneur.
Bear's Bargain Grease Barn.
Bear's Bargain
Grease Barn.
I was a little nervous that Bear was going to ride in with some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought he might ride in with some stuff.
He needs a bigger audience.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too late. We're looking for content,
tell
Bear,
him to
if
submit,
you're out there listening.
Tell him to include his Instagram handle.
Yeah.
We won't know how to get a hold of him.
All right. Okay, y'all listen to the podcast this week?
Oh, yeah.
Pretty riveting stuff.
Some really good stuff.
It was very good. Yeah. Old Holt Collier. It almost is. Who said he was like Forrest Gump?
I had the thought. I don't know if I said it out loud.
Yeah,
I told,
did they say it on the podcast?
I think Jonathan
somebody
did.
Said, okay.
Somebody said it. Somebody.
It really does feel like Forrest Gump. Like he goes through all these, like every single major.
He's just popping up here and there. And
Yeah, interacting with people. I mean, when Clay said Jesse James' brother, I was like, no, he didn't. It was kind of like when Forrest Gump, like, yeah, there were several points, and I had to remember, wait, this is a movie, but this is actually this guy's life.
Yeah.
This
well, on the Frank James part, I'd like to point out, Clay was like, well, I'd like to think that he would have arrested him. But, like, the competing interest there is he was a secessionist from Missouri, and that was certainly in line with, you know, the 9th Cavalry.
They would have been of the same ilk.
Right. Like, so I think that he would probably have been conflicted between the lawman portion of him and then the Confederate veteran portion of him. So, anyway.
Complex guy.
Really complex
He's
guy.
He's a complex guy. Yeah. I mean, it's like a different direction at every turn as I was listening to the podcast, you know.
Man, it just says so much about just be yourself. Just do what you think's right. It just said so much to me is what the way that guy was living. You know, he lived in a very tumultuous time, if not the most in our history. And yet he survived to be 90 years old in a place where that probably didn't happen a whole heck of a lot. Mm-hmm. To go through a war, to be a wounded man, to be in shootouts, to live, just to live in that time and survive was something. But to do it with the odds that he had stacked against him from the get-go, and then apparently it was just, he called it Tuesday and got up and just did his thing every day.
Yep.
That's a lesson, man. It's a lesson to a lot of folks. It's a lesson to me. And I was very enamored with me and still am. I cannot wait for this thing to, I hope it never ends, really.
Yeah.
But a movie, holy cow.
I think there's something interesting there. And Clay and I have discussed it more than once. Speaking of mispronouncing.
No one can mispronounce words today.
Get out of the chair.
Inexorable was the one that got me this week. He said cavalry right the first time and then went back to his old cheating ways.
Calvary. I have to admit that that's one that I had never thought of. Really? I probably would have said cavalry.
Yeah. Cavalry.
Cavalry.
Yeah, you've probably been wrong.
Anyway, the idea of like, this, it's hard to get into Holt's head and be like, what are his motivations? What's actually going on there? And really guess what he was thinking. But one of the things that you can see and observe, I feel like, from his life is like, okay, be that as it may, here's the scenario. Now what am I going to do about it? Is it right or wrong for him to have been born into slavery? It's wrong. Is it right or wrong for him to have made the best out of it by making a good relationship with the master? It seems like that's what he chose. And so, like, it's an interesting nuance of, like, these circumstances being as they are, what am I going to do about it? I'm going to wake up today and choose the best life that I can. I thought that was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
I think it's interesting. We were talking earlier about, you know, he made all that money and could have been a wealthy man, but he spent it. And there's part of me that's like, man, I wish he would have not gambled. I wish he would have become a wealthy man and like laid up an inheritance. And we were talking beforehand and it's like, well, I mean, maybe he didn't want to. Like,
maybe it didn't matter.
Maybe that's not a value to this person. And maybe it was just an interesting situation.
Whitetail Institute launched the food plot revolution in 1988 with a concentration on research and real-world testing of forage products specifically for whitetail deer. Whitetail Institute's research and development team of agronomy experts provide effective, personalized service. I've been using Imperial Whitetail Clover for a long time in a food plot back behind my house. In 2007, I killed the biggest buck of my life over an Imperial Whitetail Clover small quarter-acre food plot. Imperial Whitetail Clover is the only clover scientifically developed through years of selective breeding. Clover Extreme genetic stability provides extreme cold tolerance, disease, and drought tolerance. It really does. Clover is coated with Whitetail Institute's Rain Bond, a polymer coating added for enhanced seedling survivability. They have an exclusive offer for Bear Grease listeners, 15% off Imperial Clover when you use the code BEAR at whitetailinstitute.com. That's whitetailinstitute.com and use code BEAR for 15% off.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. Pay attention here because this is a hell of a good service. It's called the Wellness Company. Picture this, okay? You wake up, you got a scratchy throat, you're all congested, you got a runny nose, you got a cough, whatever. And you weigh your options, like you tough it out, get sick, take time off work, try to get a doctor's appointment sometime in the next few months, wait 2 hours at urgent care and sit in a room full of six sick folks, or you open your medical emergency kit. You match your symptoms to the doctor recommended prescription and you start on the right meds right away. These medical emergency kits, not a first aid kit, all right? It comes with doctor prescribed meds to treat over 39 medical issues. So, on hand, strong antibiotics for infections of all types. Plus, a doctor's easy guide so you know exactly what to take and when. No waiting to see the doctor, no waiting at the pharmacy. It's all in there. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit. Order yours online in minutes. Your kit will be rushed to your door. Get 15% off at twc.health/meat eater, but you got to use the promo code meat eater. That's promo code meat eater, okay, at twc.health/meat eater.
Gary, what do you think?
Well, it was really unbelievable. I didn't think anything could get better than Boone.
Yeah.
Or even Jonathan's podcast that I like so much. But this guy just never ends. You know, we knew about Boone and we knew about a lot of these guys, but this guy just comes out of nowhere. And what I like about him, he did what he wanted to do. He didn't have to fight in the Civil War. He wanted to.
Yep.
He didn't have to be a gambler. He wanted to. He didn't have to shoot those people. He wanted to. I mean, everything he did, it's almost a lifestyle where you just go, okay, what do you want to do, Gary Newcomb, with your life? You're 15 years old. I go, well, you know, I want to be a professional basketball player. I want to have some money. I want a big house. I want a GTO. You know what I mean? And it just all
That's
happens.
A car.
I mean, he just did everything that he wanted to do, and unbelievable, unbelievable. But I might add, he was only able to do this because he was very intelligent. I mean, this guy was, and he was like a professional athlete. He had a baseball team. I mean, if he were in our world today, he would be a rock star. I mean, he's 68 years old. He marries a 26-year-old beauty queen. I mean, tell me how many guys can pull that off. You know, so he was an unbelievable guy with an unbelievable life, and he figured out how to get some chewing tobacco and knee-high
and orange crush.
So I think, Gary, one of the things that you're talking about, I've heard Clay say that he's drawn to people who have a strong identity.
Right.
I have this thing that I find men who are driven for something very interesting. And he had a drive, like there was a drive. If he focused on something, he had a drive to do it. He was a bear hunter. He fought. He, you know, did all these things. And I think that shows,
you know, I think I long to have that in my own life. And I've recognized, you know, so many times where I haven't had that drive where I thought, if I'd have had more drive, I really could have succeeded in whatever X area is. So I think, you know, some of the things that Holt Collier did, you know, we might frown upon, you know, the actual action. You know, I don't want my kids to have a drive to be a gambler. Right. You know what I mean? But just to have that drive shows that internal discipline to say, I'm going to deny myself of certain things so that I can have that one thing. And I appreciate that about him. Yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of commitment and drive to drop what you're doing, go into the woods and kill 3,000 bears. I mean, that's not something you're going to do as a hobby.
Right.
You know, you got to have a drive to do that.
I appreciate that about people. What you're saying, and I agree with all that, but life was so easy for this guy. And you know, I know you're probably thinking, where are you coming from?
You think he was extraordinary, like everything about him was extraordinary.
Everybody else, that the Civil War was easy. Shooting these guys was easy. Breaking that horse was easy. Finding a 26-year-old beauty queen was easy. Everything he did, I'm not sure he had a lot of planning in it. He just wakes up in the morning and says, I'm going to dominate wherever. I mean, he's not even thinking that. It just happens.
He puts his pants on like everybody else, one leg at a time, and then makes gold records.
Well, if you ever played pickup basketball with Michael Jordan, that's kind of the way I think he was. Yeah.
At the risk of sort of validating some of your takes and making it your head grow in size, I walked away from last week's render thinking, like, I don't know about your take about love, because, like, complicating this whole thing is the relationship of slavery, right? Slave and master. And it's hard to call something love when one person doesn't really have a choice. That was something that Jonathan said in his interview with Clay that you were mentioning. But I came back around to it, maybe not wholly, in two instances in this podcast. One, the people around him, even white people, not all of them, clearly, as is evidenced, there was Sage and...
Yeah, the guy who...
And No, Sage and the guy who had the fairy.
Yeah.
Waterford, Watson?
Washburn.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly did not have any respect for
whatever. What a jerk.
Yeah.
But I will say, after that, the normative outcome of that day would be a black person killing a white person. He gets lynched, like, if he doesn't go to trial and gets found guilty. So there are a lot of people who are willing to break the racial norms of the time for this guy. And that is something that is beyond the normal relationship. There is admiration or respect. His former master clearly had a lot of that for him. But also, the story of him coming back from Texas when he heard that his former
master... stealing my thunder.
Mm-hmm.
It just, like, blew my mind a little bit, because there was nothing owed to him there.
He had a job. He was in West Texas.
Yep.
There was no chance of him getting in trouble out there.
Yeah.
And he gets wind that Hines gets murdered, and he saddles his pony up and spurs the hair off of it till he can get back to Greenville, to the place where he is a wanted man.
Yeah.
It's dangerous for him to be there, and he voluntarily goes in there to seek out vengeance. That's not in servitude. That is flat-out love for somebody.
Which, zooming out, I think that you can still hold on to these concepts of, like, there is something muddying the water over here because the foundation of this relationship is slavery, which is abhorrent. Also, this is definitely going on by free will, by choice. And I think, for me, the takeaway is just going back to the fact that this is a truly extraordinary human being. Like, I like a guy who cannot be pigeonholed.
The circumstances of two people meeting is left up. It's chance or whatever, however it happens. What those two people make out of that meeting is the thing that's important. So if I meet somebody in jail, and we become lifelong friends, and we love and support one another legally. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. That's what where you met, to me, doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, I think the black mark, if there's a black mark on that relationship, it would be on Hines, which we can get off into the weeds talking about that. It certainly wouldn't be on Holt for choosing the higher ground and being like, I'm loyal to this guy, I love this guy, despite coming from this position. I don't know.
What do you think, Malachi?
I think Holt is a complex guy that I haven't like totally wrapped my head around what I generally think about him. You know, I think what strikes me is not about Holt, but about the people that he was around and how they treated him. I think everybody has talked about slavery isn't black and white, and how they treated their slaves isn't as clean cut as people make it seem, and how, you know, the Southern attitude about race wasn't as clean cut as people make you seem or make you think. And I just think the way that individuals around his life supported him, that was counterculture to what was prevalent then, I think says something about, I think just the importance of human connection, human nature. And I think that's what stands out to me about his life. I mean, I don't think I would, it's hard to sit in 2022.
It is,
you know,
yeah.
And give a perspective about a guy who was a slave, who went to the Civil War, who kind of just, you know, after the Civil War, kind of ran freely in the wind. It's hard to kind of give your current perspective right. on an individual like that in a complex, complex situation. But I think the fruit of his life is shown by how individuals talk about him and how individuals put their reputation on the line.
Right.
Because I mean, to support somebody like Holt in that time, whether through alleged murder, whether through, you know, putting themselves up against, you know, if he gets in jail, I'm going to break him out, you know, at the Calvary. That says something about the fruit of his life. And I think to that I can, you know, tip my hat to versus like the particulars of his life. And even me trying to give a 2022 perspective on a situation that I don't think, you might be real red in a particular subject in a particular area, but it's so complex that I don't think you can fully catch the nuances of what, why he made his choices and why the individuals in his life made choices with support of him.
It is complex because I can think of very few circumstances in 2022 where someone would murder someone and I'd be like, man, what loyalty.
Yeah. True.
And yet that we're doing, you do that with this story.
I can think of 100. You can,
I think we have different life experiences.
I'm just saying,
I'm just saying, like when you, there's all sorts of aspects of this story that are pretty complex that I think, you know, your heart is kind of drawn to some of the themes, the theme of loyalty, the theme of rising above circumstances. Like those are themes that we can relate to. And at this point, at this place in our, you know, in modern history, we're looking back at those things and saying, well, those things transcend all the other stuff that we can't understand. And it kind of makes you think about like the broad strokes of your life. And we talk about this a lot. Just as a family, you know, with our kids or young adults and they're navigating all that. And that was not like a particularly easy stage of life for me. That was a stage of, there was a lot of questions and there was just a lot to navigate. And I think part of what makes it so challenging is that you think when you're 20s, like every single decision you make is the most important decision. And they are important decisions you're usually making around that time of life. But in reality, like, I don't know. It seems for my kids, I hope that they can be a little bit less uptight and realize there's actually a whole big cushion around me. Like you can make a bad decision today. I mean, there's just a handful of decisions that you really can't make that are bad.
Yeah. in your 20s. In that time of life too, and you're like 22 or 23, like, golly, I've got some stuff I got to get done. Right. I got to get done now. I can remember being in such a hurry to get a house and my family and all that. And then I'm 46 and still having kids. So, I mean, there's time, folks.
It's also interesting to think about that time of life, you know, from 14 to early 20s and just thinking about biology, his brain is not fully developed.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and I think that could play a part into why he takes what, from my perspective, so many risks to kind of get and go and getting on a horse and, you know, going to allegedly kill somebody. Like his brain is not fully developed. Right. And I think what I saw inside of, you know, episode 2 part of his decisions were a lot of how he was raised,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how you're raised, what the unsaid values right. and said values of your upbringing mm-hmm. has a direct influence on your choices and who you become in later life. And, you know, it doesn't end there, right? You
right.
have the ability to make choices. Yeah. You have the ability to do something different. So I just think it's interesting to look at it from that perspective of he's not fully developed
right.
in how he's thinking, you know, just biology wise.
Additionally, it's like your risk assessment is going to look different if you have nothing to lose. If you're starting from mm-hmm. a place of like, hey, this is my position, but I could run off to Memphis and fight in the Civil War, see what happens there. Like, and it's like, when we talk about like, he's a great man in this way, and also he had these issues like gambling, it's like, I think those things are one and the same. Like, a lot of his life was gambling. Like, yeah, let's just go see what happens when we do this.
Yeah, he gambled every time he saddled the horse
and
up.
He just happened to be really good at so many things that made him win, and then also figuring out which horse was fastest turned out to not be one of those things that he was great at.
That was the chink in his armor.
Yeah. But it was just like, if you start from, like, without, like, this like a nest egg or this security blanket or whatever, there's a lot, the risk assessment looks a lot different. And so like, if you are always living in that place, especially when your brain is developing, then later on down the road, it's like more of the same, please.
Yeah. It's just interesting because we're looking at a 90 year lifespan, 100 years later.
You know, I think an important part is if you've got foundational values, even though they might be real loosey-goosey and that I'll kill somebody or, you know, whatever. But, you know, he didn't have to think about that. I mean, these were reactions that came from the heart. So he got up every day, you know, looking for adventure. I don't know what it was, but he didn't deviate from his value system, which was pretty loose. So kind of his value system was, I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. And I don't think he realized this, but he was so far ahead of everybody else in making life work that, hey, if he died, I don't know that he ever thought about that. He could care. I mean, you know, he ran wide open.
There wasn't a lot of gray area in his life or the way he lived it. It would seem it was pretty well.
Yeah,
this happens. This is what happens when you do this.
Yeah,
and this is what happens when you do that. It was pretty automatic. Cut and dried.
Yeah, I think to your point on how unique he is, I would like to see 100 people have a gun pointed at him, their horse buck, and have the wherewithal to pull a gun and shoot a guy dead. That's pretty remarkable. I would think like, I'm totally out of this. You had that happen? You shot a guy dead when your horse bucked?
I didn't raise my hand though.
No, Josh.
That was Josh.
I just figured Josh, you had, Brent.
But I feel like that's a pretty uncommon skill set, and it probably goes to the, like, this analogy may not make sense, but I got on a kick about reading books about mountain men, 1830s, like, going west, and I was like, man, I was born in the wrong time. I should have been born this time, should have done all this. And then I got to thinking, I was like, no, like, I would be one of the, like, countless guys who went off into the wilderness and they never heard from again.
Why don't he write?
Just like, and so, like,
where's his letters at?
It'd be a Reader's Digest book. Yeah.
One of the things that's really unique about Holt is, like, I'm sure there was a lot of guys who lived that way and had one bad day where
they didn't
make it, but he was just so uncommonly good or lucky or whatever that, like, he made it to 90 and it worked out.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. I mean, really, his life story, that he made it to 90, yeah. And also has the story about the horse bucking.
Yeah, cocked the gun and brought it down on him and was an inch higher and didn't make the horse buck, he might be dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he also took that and had the skill to pull out his gun and shoot the guy. It's just remarkable.
Yeah. I thought, was it Miss Blanton,
mm-hmm.
the mother of Greenville?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a pretty crazy story that she basically talked him out of killing her husband. And I thought, if one of you was going to kill Clay, could I prevent you just by asking you not to, just by politely asking not to? Do you think that would work?
You bring those cookies.
All right.
I might talk to you.
Do you think you bake the next batch and don't put that oatmeal in there.
Do you think that was like some social aspect that I don't fully grasp like the
I know, man. I know in my heart the reason he's doing it. It wasn't malicious. Because he killed him by accident. He's trying to stab another guy, and he wound up stabbing Hines and killing him. I think if he'd have done it maliciously,
there would have been nothing that could get him off the trail.
Yeah, he liable to shot her and the dog. And
almost like he had this honor burden to do something about it until she was like, please don't. And he's like, fair enough.
I think the difference was it was an accidental deal.
I agree.
Because I think if he had maliciously done it, I don't think anybody could have saved him.
And for the sake of storytelling, I'm sure some of it gets condensed, but I wonder how much of it was he was in West Texas and hears so-and-so stabbed your dude. Mm. He rides back to Mississippi, and when he gets there, he hears the whole story and is like, well, came all this way.
Right.
I kind of got to follow up on it. And then Miss Blanton's like, please don't. And he's like,
all right.
Okay. See,
also, to Malachi's point, he's a little older. The prefrontal cortex is developed fully. He's able to calculate.
He's had several days of riding.
Cost benefit. Like, this feels a little impulsive.
It may have been the first grape or orange drinking plug of tobacco he got for doing something.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now I've found my calling in life.
Yeah.
You know, it was just another easy decision. Life was just his puppet, man, is the way I see this guy. You know, you explain what happened, and he goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. I'll go back to Texas.
Yeah.
Or I'll kill somebody else.
Yeah. I'll go kill some bears.
You know, part of the podcast that I really enjoyed was hearing Miner talk about the men at the end. What an honorable recounting of these people that influenced him and that he loved and cared for. And that means a lot to me. I have a lot of appreciation for the relationships that I have in my life, and just to hear him talk about it with such fondness and such reverence of these guys that worked hard and you know, maybe in the rest of the world's eyes may have been discounted, but he recognized the intelligence and the ethic that were inside of them and how much he appreciated it and drew things from their lives to apply to his own was what really meant something to me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I think, you know, with that, I think that stood out to me as well. But I think if you look at, you know, why Minor did this and you look at Holt as kind of like a type and shadow. Mm-hmm. And he said this, like for people who the system like didn't allow them to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's just not a race thing. There's multiple peoples in multiple races that the system didn't allow you to thrive. And I think, you know, you look at Holt's life and I think it shows the potential when things potentially work for everybody, where people can hone in their skills, people can make connections, people can quote unquote, you know, interact with individuals who they wouldn't necessarily have the ability to interact, and their life produces fruit.
Yeah.
And I think Holt's life represents, it's just a type and shadow of various individuals who either could produce fruit inside of their life or individuals who had the potential to produce that type of fruit, but the system prevented them from producing that type of fruit. And when I say system, that could be like an individual choice.
Sure.
Right? That can be somebody's, your boss's perspective of you that prevented you from, you know, rising, or that could be anything. And so I just think I appreciate people who take time to give somebody flowers when they can smell them, you know, and show that, you know, everything getting peachy, but there are people who just life sets up in a way that they can produce their fruit. And it should make you thankful and make you appreciative if your life is producing fruit.
No doubt.
Yeah, I think that was probably my favorite part of this podcast, this particular episode. I thought, again, it's just so intriguing, his whole life story. And it does make you think. I think one of the things that guys like Holt Collier and hearing their stories, because, you know, this is a man whose story was not told for decades.
Years,
I mean, no one knew this. People didn't even know this guy existed until really the recent history. And
can we give a big shout out to Miner's daughter?
No doubt.
I don't feel like she's getting enough play on this podcast. Yeah.
She lit the
fuse. Surely that book was dedicated to her.
Yeah, okay.
Surely she got the dedication at the beginning.
Anyway, sorry.
But anyway, so, you know, you've got a man whose story wasn't told and wasn't heard until just recently. And you think about, I think that when you hear those stories and when you hear about a man who rose above so many circumstances, and I agree with Gary. I mean, clearly he's got these extraordinary talents, but also I think that there is something inside of his character that is distinct, that's different. Like it always comes back to loyalty. And even sitting around the fire with Teddy Roosevelt, he looks at the grandson of his lawyer and says, "Well, can I tell that story?"
That was the thing that I was thinking of. Like, what kind of person forms a relationship?
I just like to pause for just a second and point out that Isaac has not let me finish a couple stories. Oh, go ahead,
it's
Isaac.
Chair.
It's a chair.
Go ahead.
So I'm so sorry, but I was just listening to that, thinking like, how many people, like, how uncommonly like magnetic is this guy that like. He has long-lasting relationships, not just with the lawyer, but the next generation.
Yeah,
you know, like,
right.
Hearing that was just like, we didn't touch on that. Like, yeah. He's hanging out with the guy years and years later.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
So people who do that make you think about, to me, their life makes you think about your own personal philosophy, your own personal responses, your own personal view. And I think the complexity of his life and his responses and his decisions, it makes me think about, like, broader things. Is it okay that he gambled away his money? Like, am I good with that? Like, I've kind of been thinking about that since I listened to the podcast, just like, you know, and I can reason away a bunch of that stuff and get to a good place with it. Not that it matters what I think, but just as I'm evaluating his life, it does, his life and lifestyle makes me ask my own questions about my life and my life philosophy. And I think these stories are so great. And I'm grateful for Minor Ferris Buchanan for telling it. And I thought his reason why he invested so much of his time and energy into it was a very honorable. I thought that was a great way to end it and a great way to.
God bless it.
It's what is happening here.
It's all the chair.
I don't know. It's the slowly possum. Morphing into Clay. I'm going to get out, get on one of his mules. I don't know what's happening. I don't even know what I was going to say. What were we talking?
I don't know, Isaac.
The fact that he invested a year and a half in making his own thing, and then said like, "This doesn't help, Holt." Like the starting
right.
off with the historical
right,
fiction
right, right,
and being
right.
like, "This doesn't help tell this guy's story. This is my thing." Throws it away and starts over. Like,
yeah,
that's
that was
incredible.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they talked a lot about the about him asking if he could fess up to that he killed James King. Well, he'd already been acquitted of that.
Yeah, I thought
so
double
what,
jeopardy. Yeah.
No, what is double jeopardy? That's how you're supposed to phrase that. But no, that's the deal. They couldn't try him again.
You can't be tried for the same crime
twice. No, he could have walked out of there, got on that, popped a wheelie on that horse in the front of the courthouse and said, "I did it."
Okay, but
I think they could have appealed it.
More evidence came out.
Once you're acquitted, that's it. Now,
shoot dang.
That is true, but Brent, I think in the next episode, some fishy stuff happens.
Oh. They're going to start fishing?
That was the other thing that I was going to say we were going to have today is no
less
foreshadowing. And now, yeah, it's a good thing I didn't say it because we would have blown it right there.
Yeah. So I think the next episode is going to be pretty great. And I think it's going to be the final Holt Collier one.
Tune in next time.
Tune in next time.
You know, Clay.
You're Batman, so.
Excuse me. Clay alluded to a movie. And I just think about this as a movie. Holy cow. Would this not be an awesome movie?
Yeah, it would be a fantastic movie.
You'd almost have to do one of those new, like, full-blown mini-series where you get 10 episodes that are
no
an hour
doubt.
Each. I don't think you could fit it into a movie. You'd have to do, like, here's the Holt Collier movie. Tune in next time for where we cover everything after he turns 18.
Right.
It's insane.
All right. Okay. Well, any other...
We didn't touch on the bear inside the log story. We don't have time for it, but remarkable.
Yeah,
getting
that's
trapped
crazy.
Inside of a log by a dead bear that's gotten bloated. Insane.
Yeah. Pretty.
Anyway.
Yeah. One of the many super crazy.
Leave our listeners with that mental image.
Yeah. There you
that
guys.
Would be the high point of
Never,
someone's life. That would be the best story they have to tell.
Most definitely
and
not be the high
like
point of my life. Getting stuck in a.
Okay.
In
high
a
point
log.
Maybe. Off,
I mean,
but
yeah.
like, it might be the most remarkable
it's
story
like
that
the
you.
It's scary yeah. thing that I think could actually happen. And now that I know it has happened to someone.
What's an impossible thing that could happen to me?
Yeah. definitely not a high point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody else got closing thoughts, final thoughts?
I'm ready for the next one. Good stuff.
Yeah.
No struggle without Claybo.
No struggle with that.
No struggle with Adam here. It's all good.
All good. I think I'll be honest. I miss him.
Oh, I miss him too.
I miss his little face. Even if he doesn't let me finish the story.
Up until now, you hadn't had to end to any story.
No, I haven't. I'm a terrible finisher. It's something my whole family knows. When it's time to leave, it's like, shoot. Mom's in there
Clay's
by herself.
Not here to tell your punchline.
Yeah, well, I'm also a terrible finisher. Like, I can't get out of a situation. I can't. Clay and the kids all say that I find it impossible to leave.
It's almost
like if there's an event. Yeah. So we're just going to have to cut it off real abruptly.
Yeah, how's
like my
this
kids
for
would.
Getting out of a situation? Make sure to write in to Bear Grease at themeateater.com with your Bear Grease Bargain Barn deals. And we'll read them next week on the render.
See you then.
Mars missed his birthday.
4-0.
Hey, if you guys like to cook outdoors, and you oughta, you should check out the Weber Slate Rust Resistant Griddle. So this is a carbon steel cooktop that's safe for metal tools. It's pre-seasoned with food-safe oils and ready to cook on right out of the box. It's the griddle that stays ready, not rusty. This griddle heats evenly edge to edge, reaching all the way up to 500 degrees. Get fired up for your new Weber Slate rust-resistant griddle. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.